This is Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh. I have in the studio with me Jonathan Nickel, one of the candidates for Aspen School Board, for Aspen Board of Education. Jonathan, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
Let's start with why you're running for school board.
Okay. I would guess prior to saying why I want to run for school board, I'd just like to kind of say thanks to everybody in the Aspen community. I mean, our family has had a really great experience here. All my kids have either attended or are attending Aspen High School, and I think we've really enjoyed the best of the best of Aspen. I mean, we've got all the great IB teachers, Sarah Strasberg, Mark Whitley, Bono, and Megan Noonan, kind of just to name a few. Also, especially, we got incredible support from Kathy Klug and her whole team. So, you know, just a shout out to all of them ahead of time to say thank you. We really appreciate, I myself, my family, and I know the community does, all the great things you do for our kids. So, I mean, I'd just like to get that out there and make sure that everybody knows that we really do appreciate all the hard work that teachers do. So, when I think about running for school board, you know, I've kind of been going back and forth about this in my head. But so what I did is I went back and reviewed the DAC survey that we did last year. And I looked at a lot of things that the parents and the staff had said. You know, there was a lot of written responses. So I think I want to share two of those with you, and hopefully that'll help us kind of get into this topic.
And just for our listeners, DAC stands for District Accountability Committee, of which you serve.
Yeah, that's correct. I've been on it since fall of 2016.
Thank you.
So a little about 18 months. So here's the first one, and these are both from staff members. It says, "We can be amazing. We could be the cutting edge of education. We need to be bold. We need to take risks. We need to help our young citizens lead healthy, balanced lives where they feel inspired to pursue their passions and chase their dreams." I thought that was really great, you know, coming from a staff member. I wish I knew who it was. Unfortunately, it's not.
It's a confidential survey.
It's a confidential survey. So all they do is identify parent or staff member, or we even had a couple students take it, and or community members. So
great.
We've gotten a couple. Kind of, so here's the second one. "When we first moved to the Aspen School District, I had these preconceived notions that this was one of the top schools in the state. Having been here for several years now, it is making our family reconsider whether we want to keep our children in this school district." So it's amazing the contrast between those two statements made by staff members.
They're both staff.
Yep.
Wow.
So basically, when you ask me why I'm running to fix the second statement and make the first one come true, hopefully. And so, you know, I think I have the skills and the capabilities to help that happen. Obviously, I can't do it alone. It takes an incredible collaboration between teachers, administration, the board, parents, and the community if we really want to make our schools world class. But, you know, I think it's something we have and that we can aspire to. You know, I was on the board of my children's previous school, which is pretty much considered to be the best school in Colombia. And that is Bogota, Colombia, okay? But to give you a little perspective on that, Colombia is a country of probably getting close to 50 million people now. So that's 10 times the state of Colorado, just so we kind of keep it in perspective. The school was in Bogota, Colombia, where 9 million people live. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, is just a local school down in a small town in Mexico or anything like that. I mean, this is really top-notch education. So the interesting thing is that when I contrast Aspen to this school, Aspen has more possibilities than that school did. It has more money. It has more access to world leaders, to, you know, just all the things that you have access to in the Aspen community. I mean, there we would hire international teachers. And, you know, it's not always easy to get people to go live in Bogota, Colombia. And so we had to pay higher salaries and all this other stuff. You know, in Aspen, it's expensive to live, and you do need to pay higher salaries to teachers. But people want to come live here. I mean, it's not a question of, oh, my God, what would I do with my family in Aspen, Colorado? So, You know, I look at that and I think about all the great potential we have. So, you know, and I was also been poking around lately, kind of looking at top, you know, schools that are ranked top in the world and kind of, you know, as according to whatever ranking methodology you want to use. I mean, I wouldn't get too hung up on that, but it does give you examples of what people think are exceptional things. And, you know, I came across one that said, you know, our school will change your life. You know, and so wouldn't it be great if we could do something like that with our Aspen schools? And, you know, I think if you think about it, as a community, we have the complete spectrum, right? We have from people who are working here and have two or three jobs and are working those two or three jobs to be able to stay in this community and keep their kids in the school because they think it's a good school district. And then we also have the other end of the spectrum where parents can afford to send their kids to schools anywhere in the country. And, you know, money is not a factor for them, and so they can have that option as well. But if we can say to both sets of this extremes of the spectrum, plus all of those of us who are in between those two, that, hey, I mean, you can, here in Aspen, you can have an education that is just as good as any boarding school you'll get in the country. And for all those people who are out there really busting really hard to keep it going here in Aspen, you know, have that value proposition of saying, hey, look, you're going to get an education that is just as good as any boarding school that, you know, the most wealthy people in this country can send their kids to. And we understand you have sacrifices, but that's the reward. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to send one of my children to, you know, and what do you want to know? We want to call it elite boarding school, but, you know, an expensive, very high-performing boarding school. And there were teachers there, I remember, that you could tell they had like four kids in the school, and they were teaching there because they knew that their kids were getting a great education, and that was the reason they were doing it. I mean, they were making that trade-off. They were saying, there's no way that I could afford on my teacher's salary to pay, you know, $200,000 a year to send my four kids to this institution. But if I stay here and teach and work really hard, then I will guarantee my kids that opportunity. And so I think that's kind of the same thing we have here. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but, you know, that's why I'm running for school board, you know, hoping that I can, you know, impact and help the school get to, I think, where it can really be. And I think there's no reason that it can't be anything other than world class.
You've been on school boards before, and you're on the District Accountability Committee currently. What's your role when you're part of a group like this? What style would you bring as a member of our Board of Education?
Well, I think the role of any board, there's a couple things. The first one is to make sure the company has a strategy, and so, or the organization, which is in this case. So you need to kind of know who you want to be when you grow up. Because if you don't have that vision, then it's really hard to make the trade-offs that are necessary every day in the day-to-day decision process that's going on. So you want to make sure you have that strategy, you know, you have a clear vision of who I want to be and what I want to be, and whether that's the market leader in a certain segment in a business or the best school in, you know, in the state or in the western half of the part of the United States, whatever, you need to come out and say it. And it doesn't help to be wishy-washy. It doesn't help to say, I want everyone to reach their full potential. So, okay, I mean, that's very admirable, but it's also something hard to measure and hard to be tangible. And it also assumes that you can measure what their full potential is, and that potentially that potential has some kind of limit, right? And I think all the new things we're learning about mindset and the social-emotional curriculum tell us that, you know, you don't, if you think about it in the right way, you know, you weren't born, you know, really smart or not smart. It depends on how much you work on doing these things, exercising your brain, challenging yourself, failing, getting up, trying again. That's what develops, you know, all the grit and the intellectual capacity that kids are doing today. So kind of that's where you need to be to kind of to go forward and to be able to say, well, who do I want to be when I grow up? And it also helps you define how I want to get there, right? So, you know, obviously in a school environment, you need to have things like great teachers, right? And so you really need to be able to go and say, if I want to have great teachers, what do I need to do to get them? What type of resources do I need? How much do I need to pay them? Do I need to give them employee housing? And you can measure great teachers, right? I mean, you can go and say, you know, how much are these teachers managing to teach other students and how inspiring are to their kids and all those types of things. I mean, I think we all know, and there's all those cases of where we can say that teacher was so inspiring to me that it somehow changed the course of my life. And it might be that, you know, it was a small thing, and then there might be others that were really impactful and big things. You know, I remember a little one, which was when I was in high school. I think it was my junior year. The world geography teacher said, made every one of us memorize the map of the world and be able to draw it by hand. Now, you know, today I don't think that's, you know, I've traveled a lot and I've had the, you know, the benefit of being able to be around the world. You know, back then I was in Netherlands and I had the only two places I'd been to were Colorado and Iowa. So it was quite an experience and it was a little overwhelming at first. I'm like, really? And, you know, this is something we're going to do. So, you know, I mean, that didn't really change my life in any aspect, but, you know, it's something that I said, well, I learned a lot more about the world around me. I did something that I really honestly didn't think I was going to be able to do because I didn't know anything about geography, and I couldn't even name all the, you know, I was good with the four corners, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada. That was about as far as I could get, and then I knew where Iowa and Nebraska were because I drove through them when I would go visit family. But other than that, you know, that was the scope of my world. And so, you know, those are things that make a difference. And, you know, I'm sure when we all look back, we all have those types of experiences and how, you know, great teachers and people who inspire you to do things that you didn't think you can do will really change your life. So, you know, I think when you have a strategic plan and then you know what you know who I want to be when I grow up, then you know kind of what the things I think I'll need to do, because you don't always know, right? It's kind of a hit and miss thing. You kind of try things and then you think that was going to work and then it doesn't. And so you have to keep trying. But that's the point, is you kind of always have that vision out there to force you to keep trying, to force you to keep saying, can I get better? And how can I really reach my end goal? You know, and the great thing is about it is you don't have to set the goal so ambitious from the beginning. You can start small. You could say, hey, I want to be the best in Colorado, and then maybe I'll move on to the best in the world. But that's a good thing. So that's kind of the first thing that boards do, in my opinion, and probably one of their most important roles. The second one is and this is probably the most important, is they make sure the right leadership is in place. And they develop that leader and his team. You know, that's the board's responsibility, is to make sure that that guy is the one that can do it. And they have to sit there and evaluate him and make him do presentations. And, you know, he's the one that really is in charge of developing the strategy and letting the board know what needs to be done. And the board is there to challenge independently, to sharpen his thinking, to kind of say, well, have you thought about it in a different way? You know, have you thought about this? Say, what about this other, you know, threat that you have over here? You know, I mean, in Aspen, you know, that's when the discussions come around. Okay, well, you want to have the best teachers and you want to give everybody housing and you want to do all this stuff, but we have an economic reality that we have to face. So if that's our vision and we need to, I'm just going to throw something out there, double the amount of spending that needs to be done, then how are we going to get there? I mean, so we have to have a plan and we have to say, okay, we have a vision, but we also have a economic reality that we have to do. So, you know, the board is there to help with that, but also to challenge the administration and to make sure that they're doing the best that they can. You know, they have that independent oversight function that they've got to comply with. And, you know, that's something that you need to take seriously, because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, that's what's driving the organization forward and making it better. Now, you know, this is not an exercise in gotcha, and it's not an exercise in, you know, trying to go to every meeting and find some nitpicky point or anything like that. It is really an exercise in development. It's an exercise in how can we collaborate and work together with the leader and the staff. You know, what does the board bring to the table? What does the staff bring to the table? And how can we work as a team to move forward? So I think kind of those are like the principal things that when you try and think about a board and, you know, what needs to be done, you know, it comes back to strategy, leadership, and then kind of going through and making sure that you're supporting the plan and working together with the administration to get it done.
For voters who don't even know what metrics to use in deciding which candidate they favor, tell me what you think a board with you on it moving forward brings that we don't already have.
Okay. When I look at the makeup of the board, I think the things that differentiate me from the other members will be that experience. Okay, so I'm, you know, this process that I talked about on the board and kind of challenging in a respectful manner, you know, where things are going and if we're doing the right things. I mean, that's kind of what I do in my job every day. So it's not just as a board member in my work. I'm basically a vice president of about 11,000 person company, and I'm on the executive committee, and that's what I do. I work in strategy and business development, and so we're looking at indicators. We're looking at the strategic plan. We're helping them develop it. We're helping them set the priorities, and we're also helping them make trade-offs. You know, right now in the business that I'm in, there's a decline in the economy, and we're having to make trade-offs. So we're having to sit down with people and say, okay, you know, what are we going to invest in next year? We need to reduce the investment. We need to make sure we aren't cutting plans that are important for the growth of our company. So I think these are conversations that I have just kind of on an ongoing basis in what I do. And so I think that's something unique that I can bring to this board. And definitely with a much more international perspective. I mean, you know, I think that my job takes me, you know, to Colombia at least once a month, and Mexico, Central America, Ohio, Europe. So I get a good view of what's going on. And I also have had the experience of being able to have my children in a variety of fine, excellent educational institutions. So I can also bring other experiences and other things that I've had to deal with and say, hey, look, you know, I've seen this before, I've seen that before. I mean, those kinds of things are just great to have and can be very useful in a board-like setting.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming in today.
No, thank you, Allison.
Jonathan Nickel is running for a seat on the Board of Education at the Aspen School District. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Allison Bechtesh.